Right to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We want to read just one verse for our text, and that's verse number 8. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." The theme this week for camp has been doing things God's way. And in my messages, we've talked about God's way of salvation, God's way of sacrificing or worship, God's way of finding a spouse, and God's way of service or living our lives God's way. And tonight, I want to talk about the subject of vigilance. And we'll define what that is here in just a moment. And so we could say, regarding our theme this week, we're going to look at being vigilant about doing things God's way. But first, let's pray and ask God to bless the message. Lord, I too thank Thee for this wonderful week of camp that we've had thus far. Lord, I'm grateful for the two that have testified that they've put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, perhaps there have been others. And Lord, even before we leave tomorrow, might they publicly pronounce their faith in Christ as well. And Lord, I pray that tonight as I preach this message, the Holy Spirit would impress upon each person here to be vigilant about doing things your way according to the Scriptures. Bless as I preach the message, give us all ears to hear, and Lord, if there's still one among us that is lost and unsaved, might you use the message to draw them to Jesus Christ for salvation. And I pray these things in His name. Amen. I want, as I said tonight, to talk about being vigilant. And even before I expound upon what the Bible means by being vigilant, I do want you to notice the verse that precedes verse number 8, verse number 7. It says there, "Casting all your care upon Him," that is upon God, "for He careth for you." You know, it is true that God does not want us to go around this life worrying. The Bible says elsewhere to be careful for nothing. And that doesn't mean we shouldn't exercise care when we're doing something that's dangerous. It's simply telling us not to be anxious, not to be nervous about anything. And that's probably easy to do when we take all of our cares and we put them at the feet of our Savior. There's no reason to worry. There's no reason to be anxious about tomorrow or about even the present. However, having said that, and the Bible is what said that, that does not exempt us from being vigilant. It doesn't mean that there are not times that we should exercise great care. One time I was talking with another Christian, a little bit different of a mentality than mine, and he was talking about my brand of Christianity, and maybe all of our brands of Christianity. We would refer to it as the fundamentalist Christian, and that's because we believe in the fundamentals of the faith. And he said, "It seems like the fundamentalists are always mad about something." And you know, I thought about that for a while. And it occurred to me that it's true. We're upset and mad about a lot of things that are going on in the world. And I came to the conclusion that the problem, though, was not me. The problem are those people who are not concerned and not upset about all of the evil and all of the wickedness that we see in the world today. It seems to me that as Christians, we should be up in arms at what is taking place. and we should be more vigilant in doing things God's way. You see, here in our text, it says, be sober and be vigilant. So to be vigilant is associated with also being sober. And you know, when many of you young people especially hear that word sober, you probably think of someone who's not under the influence of alcoholic beverages. And that word sometimes in the scriptures, that's what it means. And there is a sense in this context that that's what it means. But it does mean something more than that. You see, when someone is under the influence of alcoholic beverages, they don't always think straight. They're not always alert to their surroundings. And that's why many people have accidents in vehicles when they try to drive under the influence of alcohol. And by the way, that's one of the reasons God says not to be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't be under the influence of alcohol or any other mind-altering drug for that matter, but instead be under the influence of God. But here when it says be sober, it's the same word back in chapter number 4 of this book that is translated watch. In verse 7 it says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, that's not the same word, but when it says, and watch unto prayer, that is. And have you ever read about the watchman in the Bible? He's talked about in the book of Ezekiel and probably some other books. But the watchman in Bible times was someone who was placed upon a high tower, maybe on the city gate. And from that vantage point, from that viewpoint, he can see far out across the land. He was a watchman. In other words, he watched. He watched for any enemy that might be approaching. And you know, as a watchman, he was someone who needed to be alert. He needed to be awake. He couldn't be sleeping on the job. He couldn't be sitting down and having his feet up watching his favorite television show. No, he had to have his binoculars out and his eyes wide open and watching across the horizon. And every few seconds he would go back and forth and back and forth. He would be alert. He would be awake. If he had a weapon, he would ensure that his weapon was close by and ready in case he needed to use it. And were he to see the enemy advancing, he'd blow the trumpet or make a sound so that everybody would know the enemy's coming and it's time to prepare. So to be vigilant means to be sober, means to be alert, means to be on the lookout. I read what one preacher had to say about this text and about the word vigilant, and this is what he said. He said, being careful as one does when he's in danger. Have any of you young ladies ever felt like you might be in danger? You know, if you go down below the stage here, that's where my wife and I have been staying. There's a lot of spiders. And I was surprised the other evening. My wife says, come here, you want to see two spiders fight? And I thought, I would have thought she wanted me to kill the spiders, but she wanted me to watch the spiders fight. You ever been in the dark place, maybe in a basement, and been scared, girls? Like, what's down here? It's dark and it's quiet. And you know, when you're in danger, boys, or you think there might be some type of threat out there, your senses are all of a sudden heightened. Your heart starts to race. Perhaps you begin to perspire or to sweat. And if you hear the slightest of noise, you look that direction thinking it could be something that's out to get you. Or if you see a shadow move on the other side, you look quickly to see what it might be. Why? Because it might be dangerous. it might be trying to hurt you. And one preacher says that's what it means to be vigilant. It means to be on high alert. It means to have your senses heightened so that you hear things you would not normally hear and see things that you wouldn't normally see because you're on the lookout. Another Bible teacher said it meant to be on guard. Any of you boys ever used that phrase before? Boy, when I was your age, me and my brother, we used it all the time. We got our swords out, our wooden swords, our stick swords, whatever it might be, and we'd hold our sword up and we'd say, "On guard!" And you know what that meant? You better get your guard up, because if you don't, I'm going to poke you right in the chest. Well, to be vigilant, that's what it means. You're on guard. You got your sword up. And you're ready. And so when the enemy comes and takes a swipe at you, you can fend it off. You know, every time I think about the subject of vigilance, I'm reminded of a story that Pastor Hendricks told one time. Maybe he's told it in camp one of the previous years. But he was in the military. He was in the Marines. And he had certain men under his charge. And there was one man, as they walked from place to place in Vietnam because they were at war, there was one man that kept putting his gun down. He kept setting it down, and I at least recall Pastor Hendricks saying, "I guess to smell the flowers or something." And he had to keep reminding him, "Pick up your gun. That is your weapon. There are people out there who are trying to kill you. People who will shoot you. People who will invade us. And if you don't have your weapon nearby, you're susceptible to the enemy." That man needed to be more vigilant. He needed to be on guard. And notice why the Bible tells us to be sober and to be vigilant. It says, because your adversary. Pay attention to that word because it always tells you why we should obey the command that was given us. Why do we need to be vigilant? Because. That's what the youngest son always says when I ask him why. He says, because. I say, because isn't an answer. Because proceeds something else. But he hasn't figured that out yet. But I'm glad God knows that there's supposed to be something after the because. He says, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. You see, we as believers, those of us that are Christians, we have an enemy. And his name is Satan. And you know, the Bible uses three different things to describe Satan. It says that he is as subtle as a serpent. You know what it means to be subtle? It means to be sly, to be sneaky, or to be skillful. And the Bible says that he was so sneaky that he tricked Eve, Eve of Adam and Eve, into eating of the fruit of the tree that God forbid. He tricked her. He was sneaky. He took upon the form of a serpent, of a snake. Any of you boys ever heard the snake come up behind you? No, because he doesn't make any noise. He's sneaky. One time I worked for Cleek Gribble. Some of you might know him. He's from Godfrey. He owns Gribble Printing. I don't think he does much printing anymore. He's a preacher now, which that's fantastic. Because he wasn't a preacher when I worked for him when I was 16. He wasn't even saved. But he's a preacher now. And he had a great big old place there in Godfrey. And when he hired me, he had me go out and work on his property. And it was an interesting property, but I could tell you all kinds of things about it, but I won't. But he had all these pine trees. It was like a pine tree forest on part of his property. And he had me cut those pine trees up so far that we could mow under them.
And so one day I'm mowing under the pine trees.
And I like mowing. I'm looking back, looking at all my great work. And here is this black snake that just kind of slithers down out of the pine tree and drops on the ground. And I think to myself, if that snake would have fell on me, I would have had a heart attack right there. Sneaky little critters. I don't like snakes. They're sneaky. They're sly. And you know, the devil is like a snake. He's sneaky. And he was so sneaky that he deceived Eve. And she ate of that fruit. And she gave to her husband Adam. And he ate of that fruit. And you know what happened as a result of his slyness? And as a result of Adam and Eve not being vigilant? They died. Eventually they died physically. But as Pastor Hendricks said earlier today, they died that day. And you know what death is? Death is separation. Death is when we are separated from God. That's spiritual death. Physical death is when the body is separated from the soul or the spirit. But Adam and Eve, they died that day spiritually. Their fellowship with God was broken. They were alienated from God the Father. And if it were not for His grace and His mercy, they would have been cast into hell that very day. But the devil is sneaky. He's tricky. But he also presents himself as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11 says, you see, contrary to popular opinion, the devil is not dressed in a red suit, carrying a pitchfork with horns on his head. Oh no, he's much sneakier than that. He comes to us transformed into an angel of light. He looks like a good guy. But not only is he subtle as a serpent, not only does he present himself as an angel of light, but our text says that he is as a roaring lion. And he walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You know, from time to time, I've heard some say, well, the devil, all he is a big bark. But he has no bite. That is not true. He is not all bark. He has a bite. And he destroys a many a life. You see, there are some people, probably some of you young people, who think your parents overreact with the rules that they impose upon you. You don't like the curfews. You don't like certain clothes that you have to wear. You don't like how they limit you on your cell phone. Some people don't like certain preachers because they're too strict. They're always preaching about television and preaching against alcohol and gambling and things like that. And even most Christians in this generation of ours, they look back at previous generations of Christians and say they're just too uptight. They wanted to be separated from the world, but there's no need for that. They act like you young people. There's no need for all those rules. All the while, our youth is lost to the world, one generation after another. All the while, even Christian marriages are failing. All the while, men and women fail morally. All the while, churches close their doors. All the while, our entire culture has been turned into something that's anti-Christ and anti-Christian. So don't tell me that we do not need to be vigilant, because we, as God's people, need to be vigilant. We need to be on alert. We need to be awake. It is time for us to fight the good fight of faith. It is time for us to earnestly contend for the faith. We need to be vigilant. What do we need to be vigilant about? You know, we need to be vigilant about our attitudes. Proverbs 30 and verse 32 says, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. Have you ever done that, boys? You said something, you thought something, and you went, oh, we need to do that a lot more in regards to our attitudes, the attitudes that we exhibit. We need to guard our attitudes. We need to be vigilant. And when we think or when we do something that we know is wrong and contrary to the Scripture, we need to be like someone who's playing whack-a-mole.
You know what whack-a-mole is? The little mole heads that pop up, and you take a little hammer. As soon as they pop up, you smack them on the head. Get back down, mole.
Get back down. That's what we need to do to our bad attitudes.
When you young ladies, you know, you mouth off to your mom or to your pastor or to your elder, and you know you shouldn't, you need to take a plastic hammer and bounce yourself right on the head. Say, knock it off. Don't let that attitude sit there and fester and build up and become worse and worse. You're just asking for trouble.
You're just making yourself susceptible to the devil. You boys play those shooting games?
Or you ever play them in real life? There was a pastor friend of mine, he had a real life one of these. Just a couple months ago, he invited all kinds of people from the community, and they set up things on the shooting range, and people got to go out with their rifles and their handguns. And you know, when the bad guy would pop up, you shoot him. And you know, when the bad guy pops up, you don't just sit there, well, should I shoot him? You're already dead.
You don't think about it. You just shoot him. That's being vigilant. You don't give him the chance to shoot you. We need to be vigilant about our attitudes. We need to be vigilant about our acquaintances. You know, the book of Proverbs also says, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceive not in him knowledge. If you're keeping the wrong kind of company, if you have the wrong kind of friends, you know what? You're not being vigilant. You're not being alert. You're not being awake. You're setting yourself up for failure. Because the Bible tells us that evil communications corrupt good manners. You might have good manners, but you hang around the wrong people, you won't very long. The Bible tells us over and over again, the clean thing doesn't make the unclean clean. No, the unclean thing makes the clean unclean. We need to be vigilant. We need to be vigilant about our actions. This week we've been stressing the need to read and study your Bibles. And you need to be vigilant about reading your Bible. You need to not let a day pass where you don't read a part of your Bible. You know, I've watched enough of the TV shows with gunfighters and stuff, modern day gunfighters, to know that when you're in a gunfight, you make sure your weapon is ready to shoot. Almost in all those action movies, you know what happens? The guy shoots. He gets back here, now he's hiding. You know what he does? The same thing every time. Tucks the clip out, sees how many bullets are in it, puts it back in. Oh, there's one in the chamber. I mean, he makes sure he's ready. He makes sure his weapon is ready. He makes sure he's sharp. And the only way you're going to make sure that you're sharp as a Christian is reading this book on a consistent basis. You know, we need to be vigilant about our church attendance. I don't know for you young people how many of you go to church consistently and faithfully, but you know, the Bible tells us that every time the church doors are open and they're having a service, that we ought to be there. And for most of our fundamental independent Baptist churches, that means we go to church 3 times a week. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday evening. And sometimes we're far too careless about our church attendance. We let things get in the way. And we miss Wednesday evening service. Well, that's just the prayer service. It's not that important. I'll just pray at home. And then we're missing the evening service. Well, I mean, it's football season and the games are on. So, you know, I'll read a verse and I'll stay home and I'll be all right. I've heard that message the pastor's going to preach anyway. And we stay home then. And pretty soon, we go to church once a month. And then we go on Easter and Christmas. And then we think, well, what's the point? I don't want to be a hypocrite. And we don't go at all. Are we being vigilant? Not at all. We're making ourselves susceptible to the devil and his attacks. We need to be vigilant about our dress. Young ladies, especially how you dress. You need to be vigilant about that. My daughter was having a conversation, one of my daughters, with... Well, actually, I should say it this way. the individual started a discussion on a social media site about whether or not, you know, a woman should wear a certain article of clothing. And she didn't really think that it was necessary. My daughter, bless her heart, thought it was. And so she said something in the conversation. Of course, you know how it goes on social media. Then you got 12, 15, 500 people posting in response to it. And that's why I tell my wife, don't you dare ever post on somebody else. Don't ever respond to somebody's post. I don't want my phone beeping every 5 seconds about the debate Christians are having online. I've got no interest in that. And all I got to do is keep clearing my phone off. But my daughter, she felt something needed to be said. So she said it. In the days past, I think some people fail to realize this. Some people do pay attention to what they post online. And just a few days later, here's this lady that was saying, well, you don't have to wear this certain article of clothing, but I'm all for modesty. And here's the picture of her, I guess, in workout gear. She had the yoga pants, the leggings. So really, for her, it wasn't a matter of modesty at all. She must have felt at liberty to wear whatever she wanted, even though the Bible said to adorn yourself in modest apparel. We need to be vigilant about these things. We need to be vigilant about the music that we listen to. You know, some Christians start off listening to the right kind of music, to Christ-honoring music, and then they begin listening to Southern gospel, and then they begin listening to country, and then pop, and then rock and roll, and now they're filling their minds not with sacred, godly music, but worldly music. And when we do that, we're not being vigilant, we're making ourselves susceptible to the devil's attacks. We need to be vigilant. We need to be vigilant of our use of time, and that's been talked about this week. We need to be vigilant about our purity. How many of you young people are actually vigilant, on alert, on guard, trying your best to protect your purity? Are you? Are you being vigilant in this matter? Because year after year, I stress the importance to all the young people to be pure and to take steps not to give provision to the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, which is what the Bible says. And every time I see young people being careless, you think you're okay to get into a relationship with a boy or a girl when you're 12, 14, 16 years old. No, you're not. I've already said to a couple of people this week, at what age will you be ready to marry? For most people, it will not, especially boys, it will not be until they're at least 22 years old. Because it's then that they'll have a means by which to provide for themselves and a family. And you want to get in a relationship at the age of 16, 14, you're setting yourself up for failure. Because that means you're going to have a lot of years of temptation before you reach the marriage altar. And by the way, fornication is still a sin, even if our society accepts it. And so if you give yourself 6 years in a relationship with a boy or a girl, over time, you're going to get closer and closer, and then you're going to touch, and then you're going to kiss, and then it's going to go to the next step, and you think you're going to be able to withstand those temptations for 4, 6, 8 years. I seriously doubt it. You are not being vigilant. Vigilant about your purity. You're setting yourself up for failure. We need to be vigilant about our service, which is what we talked about last night. We need to be vigilant about serving the Lord. Young people and even the adults that are here, and for the adults mostly it's just preaching to the choir because they're here serving. But I hope you young people realize how important it is to continue to serve the Lord. I always feel so blessed that this camp continues year after year. I've been coming to this camp for over 20 years now. And I'm so thankful that certain people have simply decided to serve God by serving at camp every year. Because if they didn't, we couldn't have this camp. And you young people are going to grow up one day and be the next generation that needs to serve at camp so that other youngsters can learn about Jesus Christ. And I want to close tonight with this. We need to be vigilant about our soul, about salvation. You know, in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus gave the parable of the sower. And he talked about four different types of soil. The first type of soil was that by the wayside. And when the seed was sown on the soil by the wayside, because it was hard, the seed was not able to get into the ground and to sprout roots and to produce fruit. And Jesus said, what that represents is when the Word of God is sowed into your heart. That's what we've been doing all week. Sowing the Word of God in your heart, putting it in your heart. He says, then that wicked one comes and he steals it, lest ye believe. That's what the devil does. That's why I sat here, I think it was this morning, and Pastor Valentin said, look me in the eyes if you want to be saved. And I think there was three or four people that looked at him, according to what he said. And I sat back there and he said, I want you to stay in your seat when we're dismissed so that we can talk to you about the Lord. And I watched, and there wasn't one person that stayed in their seat. Had the devil already come along and plucked the seed out of your heart? You need to be more vigilant than that. As we talked about last night, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, I like playing baseball as much as the next guy, but that baseball game tonight is not as important as your soul. And if you're not saved, and you need to be saved, when we close this service, you come up to me and say, preacher, I want to be saved. You be vigilant about your soul and about salvation. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for this week of camp and this evening chapel service. Lord, thank you for the liberty in preaching. And God, I pray that you would impress upon each of our hearts the need to be vigilant. The Bible tells us to strengthen the things which remain. Lord, might we strengthen our walk with thee, not allowing it to be weakened at all. And Lord, if there are some who are lost here tonight, some who don't know that when they die, they're going to be with thee in heaven, might they inquire about salvation either from myself, their counselor, or Pastor Hendricks, or Pastor Valentin, or Pastor Crane. Might they be vigilant, Lord, in seeking Jesus Christ for salvation. So Lord, bless the message as it's went forth tonight. Use it for thy glory, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.